Oh my God.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
It's Judy Sill.
The name of the group, Led Zeppelin.
Liz Phair.
Black Keys.
Hello, my friends.
There are several fine young men who I'm sure are gonna go far. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones.
The Electric Crew.
Thank you.
Ike and Tina Review.
Brother in the holding company with Janis Joplin.
We apologize. Here they are, the replacement.
It's the balcony.
It is the balcony. Crazed and nutty and wild and just playing all kinds of weird stuff. And
yeah.
As crazy as that promo is and is always will be, we're just as nutty as everything, as nutty as everybody.
Are you done with all?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I really don't either. I'm just letting you do it.
Just trying to open the show with a little nuttiness.
You've said nutty a lot so far.
Okay. Enough of that then.
I guess the ball's in my court now.
It is. You have to really pick up the slack here,
yeah,
as far as the nuttiness is concerned.
You're fucking fired.
Hi, my name is Scott.
I'm Anthony. We're Balcony Radio. And thank you for joining us. I hope you're still here.
Yeah. So. We didn't lose our audience yet.
No.
Well, we can talk long because this is a show about long things.
Yes. Well.
This is Long Song Silver, episode 15.
It's it's thick, too. So here we are. It's Wednesday night. Appropriately, it's hump night for the Long Song Silver Show.
That's right. You need a good long song to get you through your hump.
Yeah. And so what should we say? There's just so many songs out there that are over that are over a certain period. What this show is, of course, is dedicated songs over 10 minutes long.
Right.
And I was doing the internet searching while putting the show together, and there's just so many out there that you don't even think of because it's a lost art form. So there's lots of songs from the 70s and 80s, especially the early 70s, of course, because the drugs that are just so long because they're just these... I don't know. It's just bands trying to outdo each other a lot, which
mostly
is a lot of progressive rock.
Yes.
And just, I was looking through, and some of them are just ridiculously long, and it almost becomes a joke.
After a while, it seems that way.
Because I was going through this like list of, you know, greatest long progressive songs, and it was like 19 minutes, 20 minutes, and then one of them, I forgot what it was. Damn it, I'd have to go through my internet history because it'd be worth it. But there was one song that was listed as 29 minutes long.
Yes.
And it was just like the review was, great song, kind of drags in the middle. And I'm like, you mean the middle 15 minute part?
That's right, the middle. Yeah. Which middle part are you talking about?
Yeah, the 15-minute bass solo or the 8-minute drum break? What do you mean? Like
the time it took you to go get a sandwich or something?
Yeah, seriously. And it just like, wow, there's some real just pretentious wankery when you get into trying to make an epic.
Yes.
And it's, I don't know. And it's just like not everyone is up to the task.
No, definitely not. It is certainly... It certainly takes a lot of talent to create a very long track and a very long song. You need to write it really well.
Yeah. Well, you need to be able to write.
And play your instrument extremely well.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah. And then you'll be able to create something that starts with a development and has a
You're forgetting another ingredient, which is having something to say.
Oh, yes. No, you definitely should have something to say. But then again, some long songs are just instrumentals, you know?
That's true.
I like classical music, and, you know, that sort of plays into that palm.
That plays into the pretension of
Exactly. You know, and I love every long minute of it. You know?
So, speaking of pretension.
We are going to be very pretentious tonight.
Yes. We recently lost an artist.
Oh, yes.
Who, say what you want about the band, they are they're pretentious. They're super pretentious.
They a little bit.
And nerdy. And in their own way, wonderful. There's a band out there. They're from Canada, the Great White North. They're called Rush. They've been around since the early Cretaceous period,
I'd
say so.
Yes, exactly.
When the earth cooled.
During the cold times.
Yes. Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee met and Neil Peart.
That's right. Actually, Neil wasn't the first drummer.
I know. But I always feel bad for that guy because that's some serious Pete Besting that happened.
Right,
there.
Exactly. First album and then he's gone.
Well, it's even worse because not only did he get replaced, the first drummer in Rush, he gets replaced by the greatest drummer of the last 50 to 60 years, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, that's fair assumption.
I can't think of anyone that I'd put on par with him. Until you get back to, like, seriously, it'd have to be a jazz player person. It'd have to be, like, Gene Krupa.
Yeah, or, somebody that, or maybe even Ginger Baker. You know, you could.
Ginger Baker was all right, but he swings, but he doesn't play the way like
Neil played.
He's not a lead the way that Neil could have been, the way that Gene Krupa was. What's the name of the guy from the Wrecking Crew whose name always escapes me? The guy,
Hal Blaine.
Hal Blaine's another one. But that's more just because he was so able to play in a variety of styles. That wasn't necessarily technical. But with Neil, it was just like, you're watching somebody and it's just like, well, that's math.
Like lots of math. It adds up to something.
It adds up to 20 minutes of a song that just like has 8 passages in it and 5 time signatures. And
well, you know, that works.
It's a bit of a workout.
It's a bit of a workout. You need to be a really good musician to play that
and
stuff.
And you need to be really patient to listen to it.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I'm not a super big Rush fan. But
they played it live in concert many, many times.
Yes.
In fact,
did you ever see Rush?
No.
Me neither. Did. Nah, I didn't feel the need to.
But updated version of the album 2112 has a couple of live performances.
Oh, my God. It's got basically a concert on the extended version of it. Uh-huh. And so that's where we found this. So we're going to start with a Rush song because we recently lost Neil, who, as you can hear on this recording, is a man that plays like he's got 5 to 8 arms.
That's right. That's exactly right. He writes
the lyrics, which is also a weird thing when the singer doesn't write the words. It happens every once in a while in a band, but for the drummer to be the writer is super weird.
Yeah, he wrote all those lyrics.
Don Henley's the only one that I can think of where there's that kind of, that's the writer is the drummer in the band. I can't think of any other band that did that.
But, you know, he wasn't the sole writer.
He was the primary writer.
He was a primary writer.
He wrote all the words.
But Neil was the writer.
Yeah.
He wrote all the words.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
He wrote the Diane Sawyer song.
Go see the Trailer Park Boys if you not that reference, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, so this is, I guess, their most famous song.
It has been.
It has been.
It's become that since we're so close to this particular year, 2112.
We're creeping up on it.
Yeah, and let's see, how far away? We're only 90 years away.
I'm not good at math. Wait, 92.
92 years.
92 years.
And it'll be 2112.
Oof.
My goodness.
Geddy Lee will still be out there.
Here is Rush, ladies and gentlemen.
Enjoy.
Yeah. People will all see its light. Let them all make their own music. Please raise my name on this night. That it might come to pass.
not fade like all my dreams. Just think of what my life might be in a world like I have seen. I don't think I can carry on this golden empty life.
Very good. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. 2112 from Rush, the title track from the original studio record, but we heard a live version there.
From the expanded studio
record. The expanded studio record.
The remastered.
Yes, indeed.
Like the
it's
first,
a good record, too.
I love that Getty comes out, and the first thing he says is, we're going to play side one of our new record.
It's very... And you said, that must be rare that happens. It's like, no, not really.
For the bands that you listen to, yeah, it's not. But I've been to a lot of concerts, but I've heard people say, here's one for the new album, or here's one from way back, but never, here's an entire side.
Here's an entire side of our record, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you can stay with us. Pretend you're putting the tone arm down on the vinyl.
I guess it's like Beethoven opening the show and saying, all right, well, here's the ninth.
This will last a couple hours. I know Mahler would do that. He saw this next one will last about 2.5 hours.
Here's Ride of the Valkyries. See you in 45.
See you in 45 or 50 minutes. So there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, 2112, our tribute to the late Neil Peart, who passed away just shortly before we started recording this show, actually, a couple of days ago.
So, when this goes up, it's time, it's date stamping it a little bit.
This was a surprise.
We don't really like doing, but yeah, it was a surprise. And like we talked off air, not news to the world that he was sick. And not only that, he was really sick.
No, it was news to me. It's like, wow. That news really just flew under the radar, and I guess for good purposes. I suppose that's the way
because
he wanted it.
Because that's the guy.
That's the way he wanted it, man. He was a hero all the way.
I remember, I can't remember. Within the last 5 years, I want to say, there was a Rolling Stone article about the band. Because they were having another resurgence, which they just do.
A 40th anniversary of something.
Yeah, I think maybe it was around the 40th anniversary, but it was another time when they were touring.
Yeah.
Because just every few years or so, they just get big again for some reason amongst rock nerds. It's really weird.
It's and cyclical. Then, you know, the appreciation of their music is somewhat cyclical.
The appreciation comes around every few years where it's people are like, Rush.
Yeah.
And and then they'll wind up putting on a big tour, and they're one of those bands that they got enough hits and enough of a cult following amongst middle-aged white guys that they could have played any baseball stadium or basketball arena nationwide.
Sure.
Pretty much in North America.
Mostly. Yeah,
and
anywhere really.
Canada and U.S. definitely. I'm not sure how big they are in Mexico.
Oh, they're big all over.
But I'm sure they are. Yeah, I mean, fucking prog rock is huge. It's really just nerds are everywhere.
They were monstrous in Europe, where prog is just like king.
But yeah, I remember reading this Rolling Stone article, and the writer put it in sections. Here's my time with Alex, and he and Alex hung out in their in Alex's hotel room smoking a joint.
Oh, okay.
And then here's my time with Getty, and he and Getty went and drove an old car or something and talked about baseball. And then I remember the Neil part was just like, didn't really connect with Neil.
Wow. Like,
Neil didn't really want to be interviewed. And Neil doesn't hang out after shows, which is the coolest thing I ever learned, which is right after every show, just got on his motorcycle and he bailed because it was just, he was so still all hyped up from the show that he would just go on his motorcycle and just go drive fast. Just go drive. Just like, which I totally understand. It's that feeling of fuck.
You gotta get out of here.
I gotta get out of here. I still have too much energy. I just played 3 hours to 10,000 people.
Wow.
I got to go drive fast.
That's amazing. I did not know that.
Yeah. So what the writer eventually came out saying was like they were just like normal good people, but they got along like not like family members who you're still going to be like, oh, that guy's an asshole, but I deal with him.
Right.
But like people who were genuine friends and actually liked each other and hanging out.
Right.
And he was like, it's been 40 years. Like, what is this sorcery?
Yeah, it works, man. Well, you know, that makes the music gel.
I know, but it's just so weird because you're so used to hearing strife and that guy.
Discord and all that. Yeah,
and I recently read, I forgot. I think it was in Mojo where it was Roger Waters' quote about Pink Floyd getting back together. And he literally said, like, I can't look at David Gilmour. And that was the quote.
Wow.
It's like, I can't be in the room with him. I can't see that guy. And it's like, Jesus, what happened there?
Wow, there must be some serious repellent going on.
Yeah.
There. I don't know what it is.
But... And I'm like, wow, that's terrible. And like,
wow.
They had like four or five guys in the band.
Four guys?
Well, there was a fifth guy, but
he's kind of flipped. Yeah.
So there's four guys in the band, and like they had, that's not a trio. Like with three, like it's still, there's a big difference between not having a fourth person in your environment. Like it's a much tighter knit.
Yes.
And the Rush guys still get along. And you know what?
Hey, right on.
Way to go, Canada.
Right on. Canada rules. Sometimes. So, most of the time.
Most of the time. Have you been?
No, never been.
I've been very, very briefly.
Have you?
A couple hours.
Oh, all right.
from the border to Vancouver to getting on a boat, yes.
Okay, that's right.
Vancouver is lovely,
cruise,
yes.
That's right.
Vancouver is really pretty, so I definitely want to go back.
Okay.
But, yeah,
that's where they used to shoot the X-Files.
Yes, it is, yeah. Vancouver's set in for everything.
It really has. It can be any place you want it to be.
It really was. It was usually like the upper northwest is what it looked like.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you remember the X-Files? Everything everything looked like it was the Northwest.
The Pacific
Northwest. Matter what. Yeah.
And it had a kind of a
rainy
kind of rainy gray pallor to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of well, neat. So, it's yeah. awesome.
No, I've never been to Vancouver. I would like to go.
You're missing out. Mm. So anyway, let's get back to it. And after that nerdery of Rush, which was basically a Dungeons and Dragons game set to music, let's get some bounce to the ounce, man.
Some serious serious dance going on.
Here's
here.
Zap without Roger, just Zap.
Just Zap.
Well, I guess so. And this is Dance Floor. Check it out.
Yeah.
Dance Floor from Zap.
Dance Floor.
I almost want to go into Flashlight by
I know, right? It's the same beat.
By Parliament after that. Well, it's Flashlight. Sounds like the same thing. Anyway, from Zap 2, that is Dance Floor.
That's right.
A great dance hit, and I'm sampled by every hip-hop group since 1982.
Seriously. Like, that was about every rap song from 91 to 96 owes a great debt of gratitude to that track right there.
Yes.
That is basically the G-Funk sound, right?
Yeah.
It's that and Slow It Down and Say Fuck Over It a lot. That's hip-hop.
Mostly. And say, I got a gun and I'm going to do this with that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Good music.
It's all right. But that's where it originated. That's the dance stuff.
That's right.
I haven't listened to too much Zapp and Roger. I don't have any in my collection, unfortunately.
It's very good.
Yes, and I think on those Warner Brothers collections, I think I've got.
Oh yeah, they're on those. Yeah,
got a couple of their tracks.
Yeah, Zapp and Roger is great for just good outside music. If you're outside and there's people around, and just throw on those records, and it's good stuff. It's got that.
It's really nice stuff.
It's got that kind of you're at a picnic kind of vibe to it. It's got Sunday afternoon written all over it. It's just good ass music. It really is. So
great stuff.
So now we gotta move into the serious material.
Yes. Now we're gonna get into some serious spoken word.
Yes, it's time for you to sit up in your chair, move to the edge of your seat.
Yes.
Because Professor Heron has some shit to say.
Scott Heron.
Yeah.
Professor Scott. Gil Scott Heron.
Gil Scott Heron. Is plenty to say.
I'm surprised that you actually found this in the digitals here. This is
he's all over the digital world.
Is he?
Yes, he has to be. It's better for the universe that he is easily accessible to young people.
I've got one of his CDs. This actually was one of the first manufactured CDs. It's The Revolution Will Not Be Televised.
You have that?
Yes.
Oof.
It's a really good collection.
Yes, it is.
It's got the Whitey's on the Moon and Revolution Not Be Televised, all the great stuff.
Yes, he's a very underrated writer and really is, when people say, oh, he's a poet. This guy, yes, poet first. Whenever you hear a rock person who has pretensions about them, they get labeled a poet.
Yes.
I'm looking at you. looking at,
me?
Yeah, and Jim Morrison.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Patti Smith.
Well, they've written.
Not great poets.
No, maybe not, but they've.
Gil Scott Heron, great poet.
True.
There's the difference.
Yes.
There are very few poets who transitioned into music and did it well. And Gil is one. Leonard Cohen's another one. And that's your list.
Okay. That's yeah, that's a really tight list, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I taking it from you, you would understand those sorts of things.
Being, I know my spoken word
being
material.
The literati guy yeah. that you are.
Yeah, really, it starts, rap music kind of starts with Gil and The Last Poets, and I guess if you want to say the Beatniks, you can, but really, that's not a precursor to hip-hop, really.
Really? You don't
I don't
think
consider
so?
It, no.
Oh.
There are really no black Beatniks.
Well, that's true.
Amiri Baraka, maybe, but I don't really consider he's of that time, but he doesn't write in that same he doesn't write about beatnik things. He doesn't write about the man and gay sex and you know.
Yes, I guess that's true.
And he had a much longer career than they did too. I don't know. That's an English discussion for off air.
Yes, that's interesting.
But Gil Scott was a better writer than Amiri Baraka too.
It's
so anyway,
it's the origins of the insight and all that.
So we're going to play something from a collection called Reflections. It's really, really impressive and worth checking out if you just want to hear some like seriously just smart writing with musical accompaniment. It's really, you got to get into Gil. And right. This is one called B-Movie. Check it out.
Well, the first thing I want to say is mandate my ass. Because it seems as though we've been convinced that 26% of the registered voters, not even 26% of the American people, but 26% of the registered voters form a mandate or a landslide. 21% voted for Skippy and 3-4% voted for somebody else who might have been running. But oh yeah, I remember in this year that we have now declared the year from Shogun to Reagan, I remember what I said about Reagan. Minute. Acted like an actor, Hollywood. Acted like a liberal. Acted like General Franco when he acted like governor of California. Then he acted like a Republican. Then he acted like somebody was gonna vote for him for president. And now we act like 26% of the registered voters is actually a mandate. We're all actors in this, I suppose. What has happened is that in the last 20 years, America has changed from a producer to a consumer. And all consumers know that when the producer names the tune, the consumer has got to dance. That's the way it is. We used to be a producer, very inflexible at that, and now we are consumers and finding it difficult to understand. Natural resources and minerals will change your world. The Arabs used to be in the third world. They have bought the second world and put a firm down payment on the first one. Controlling your resources will control your world. This country has been surprised by the way the world looks now. They don't know if they want to be Matt Dillon or Bob Dylan. They don't know if they want to be diplomats or continue the same policy of nuclear nightmare diplomacy. John Foster Dulles ain't nothing but the name of an airport now. The idea concerns the fact that this country wants nostalgia. They want to go back as far as they can, even if it's only as far as last week. Not to face now or tomorrow, but to face backwards. And yesterday was the day of our cinema heroes riding to the rescue at the last possible moment. The day of the man in the white hat or the man on the white horse. Or the man who always came to save America at the last moment. Someone always came to save America at the last moment, especially in B-movies. And when America found itself having a hard time facing the future, they looked for people like John Wayne. But since John Wayne was no longer available, they settled for Ronald Reagan. And it has placed us in a situation that we can only look at like a B-movie. Come with us back to those inglorious days when heroes weren't zeros. Before fair was square, when the cavalry came straight away and all American men were like Hemingway to the days of the wondrous B-movie. The producer, underwritten by all the millionaires necessary, will be Casper the Defensive Weinberger. No more animated a choice is available. The director will be Attila the Hague, running around frantically declaring himself in control and in charge. The ultimate realization of the inmates taking over at the asylum. The screenplay will be adapted from the book called Voodoo Economics by George Papadoc Bush. Music by the village people, the very military, macho man.
Macho man, coming in, song for saber rattling and selling wars door to door. Remember, we're looking for the closest thing we can find to John Wayne. Clichés abound like kangaroos, courtesy of some spaced out Marlon Perkins, a Ray Gun contemporary. Clichés like itchy trigger finger and tall in the saddle and riding off or on into the sunset. Clichés like get off of my planet by sundown. More so than clichés like he died with his boots on. Marine tough to manage, Bogart tough to manage, Cagney tough to manage, Hollywood tough to manage, cheap steak tough, and Bonzo substantial. The ultimate in synthetic selling, a Madison Avenue masterpiece, a miracle, a cotton candy politician. Pesto macho, 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 baby. Put your orders in America, and quick as Kodak, your leaders duplicate with the accent being on the dupes. Because all of a sudden we have fallen prey to selective amnesia, remembering what we want to remember and forgetting what we choose to forget. All of a sudden the man who called for a bloodbath on our college campuses is supposed to be Dudley goddamn Do-Right. You go give them liberals hell, Ronnie. That was the mandate to the new Captain Bly on the new ship of fools. It was doubtlessly based on his chameleon performance in the past as a liberal Democrat, as the head of the Studio Actors Guild. When other celluloid saviors were cringing in terror from McCarthy, Ron stood tall. It goes all the way back from Hollywood to Hillbilly, from liberal to libelous, from Bonzo to Birchite or Born Again. Civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, it's all wrong. Call in the cavalry to disrupt this perception of freedom gone wild. God damn it, first one wants freedom, then the whole damn world wants freedom. Nostalgia, that's what we want. The good old days, when we gave them hell. When the buck stopped somewhere and you could still buy something with it. To a time when movies was in black and white, and so was everything else. Even if we go back to the campaign trail, before Six Gun Ron shot off his face and developed hoof and mouth. Before the free press went down before full court press and were reluctant to view the menu because they knew the only thing available was Crow. Lon Chaney, our man of a thousand faces. No match for Ron. Doug Henning does the makeup. Special effects from Grecian Formula 16 and Crazy Glue. Transportation furnished by the David Rockefeller Remote Control Company. Their slogan is, why wait for 1984? You can panic now and avoid the rush. So much for the good news. As Wall Street goes, so goes the nation. And here's a look at the closing numbers. Racism is up. Human rights are down. Peace is shaky. War items are hot. The House claims all ties. Jobs are down. Money is scarce. And common sense is at an all-time low in heavy trading. Movies were looking better than ever. And now no one is looking because we're starring in a big movie. And we would rather had John Wayne. We would rather had. You don't need to check on how you feel. Just keep repeating that none of this is real. And if you're sensing that something's wrong, well, just remember that it won't be too long before the director cuts the scene. Yeah.
many Gil Scott Aarons deteriorating into the nighttime.
It was dematerializing into the ether. There you go. Gil Scott Aaron. Somewhere in the universe right now, very angry about where he is. Not even angry, just pointing out the flaws.
The flaws
of where he
right.
is. That's what Gil Scott Aaron is doing.
I told you this is what I said it was going to be.
Somewhere in a distant nebula, Gil Scott is just a little miffed.
Little miffed, little angry.
And whatever he's miffed about, he's right about.
Yeah, yeah.
And you should shut up.
And that was a really good track, too.
It was really great, right?
That was really cool.
And
that was from a record called Reflections. That was called B-Movie.
Yeah, and that's mid-period. Because, like, you were looking at his discography. He put out pretty much an album a year from the mid-60s to about the late 90s or so, right?
No, actually to about the early 80s until he had his health and legal issues and all that.
And then, he has a resurgence in the 90s and he starts putting out a lot of material again.
Yeah. Actually, most of the stuff that came out, he put out one studio record in the 90s in 94.
Yeah.
And then 1, 2, 3 records in the 2000s, 2010, 11, and 14.
He took that much time off? I just remember him being I don't know. I remember him putting out more material than that.
In the early days, he did. He put out lots of records in the early days. It was.
I must have been catching remasterings
then. From like 70 to 80.
There's like two. Ten albums.
A record a year, practically, man. So.
I remember a lot of them were remastered when I was my teenage years because he had a refinding because he had some tough times with the law and with drugs.
Yes.
And was out of it for a bit. And I remember his refinding in the 90s coincided with the whole spoken word resurgence of people actually pretending they liked poetry for a little bit.
Yes.
And
that seemed to work for a while.
For some of us, it stuck. And it was really terrible.
Stuck. Yeah.
And so
some of it was like.
So I remember a lot of his records were remastered, and I think that was my getting kind of exposed to him. Was listening to a lot of stuff that was just too much for me at a young age.
Yes. So it was heavy material.
You need to be in grad school to get into Gil.
I read Kurt Vonnegut when I was really young, and then I read it when I was much older. And
he's much better now.
He's much better now. So it's a perspective and understanding.
Yeah, he's like my favorite now. But when I was younger, it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what's he talking about?
What the fuck is this crazy old coot doing? And now it's like the most genius thing in the world to me. So
right, exactly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And Gil Scott Heron is the same way. It's the most genius thing in the world.
It's pretty much. It's smart people music.
Yeah.
Because it's barely music.
That's right. It's you can describe how it's spoken word with music backing mostly.
Can't dance to it.
Well, you probably could.
Well, that you could.
You can do this. You could like. I don't know.
That one's a solitary dance. You don't dance with a person on that one.
No, you bop around the living room.
Yeah, that's some definite living room dancing. Lots of elbows.
Okay, enough of this stupid chit-chat here. We've said nothing. I want to go back. Well, you want to do some plugs? You want to do some plugs?
It's your turn. Go for it.
Oh, it's my turn to do plugs.
It is now.
Oh, all right. I'm going to fade you out.
Please do.
Okay, goodbye. A couple of things, ladies and gentlemen. First off, the email address is balconyradio@gmail.com. balconyradio@gmail.com. pardon me, my throat is a little dry here. Pardon me, let me take a drink here. Thank you very much.
Hot air.
Oh, wasn't that nice? On air, I've just refreshed my vocal cords. So, balconyradio@gmail.com. You can send stuff there and we'll reply to it. And there's a website, balconyradio.com. And there's stuff there you can do, like listen to our stream, which goes on 24/7. And there's a way to do that. You can just press play, and it starts playing for you. Whatever song is on in our 60,000 or so track collection, it's there for you. And then on Sundays, we do jazz. So we've got everything for you right there in our stream. And you can also subscribe to our RSS feed there by simply clicking a button and downloading all of our shows at our special place there. So you can do that all at the website. There's balconyradio.com, and you can see all kinds of stuff going on there. And you can also check us out on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/balconyradiofm, where we post all of our new shows and a lot of articles and stuff like that. We are also on Instagram. We are at Balcony Radio. And we post our album of the day and all kinds of really strange stuff there as well.
Yeah.
So we have fun on Instagram.
We're on the Twitter, but don't bother following it.
Don't bother Twitter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, really. It's at Balcony Radio. You can follow it if you like, but
nothing happens there.
You're going to be
lonely.
One of the only people there doing that. Don't follow it.
We don't even follow our own Twitter account.
Nope.
So there you go. There's some quick plugs.
Yeah, let's get back to the tunes. All right. So here's some more weird ass music.
This is a strange,
you ready to clear the room?
This is clear the room time, I guess. We go from I don't know.
Another clear the room. And the people are coming back in, and we're going to drop this. And a lot of people are going to be heading to the kitchen and the bathroom now.
Another band that's making a resurgence these days.
That's right. Like. God, they're old. But good for them to be out there again.
Suicide.
Making so much noise.
Suicide is the name of the band, the name of the record. And this is called Frankie Teardrop.
Yeah.
Frankie Teardrop. 20-year-old Frankie. He's married, he's got a kid, and he's working in a factory. He's working from 7 to 5. He's just trying to survive. Well, let's hear it for Frankie. Frankie, Frankie. Frankie can't make it, 'cause things are just too hard. Frankie can't make enough money. Frankie can't buy enough food. And Frankie's getting evicted. Let's hear it for Frankie. Oh, Frankie, Frankie. Oh, Frankie, Frankie. Frankie is so desperate, he's gonna kill his wife and kid. Frankie's gonna kill his kid. Frankie picked up a gun. Pointed at the 6-month-old kid in the crib. Oh, Frankie. Frankie looked at his wife. Frankie with a gun to his head. I know, I know. Frankie's dead.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, indeed.
My goodness.
The room is empty.
The room is empty. It's been primally cleared. Primal screaming from Martin Rev and Alan Vega. Actually, I think Martin Rev was doing the vocals on that.
I thought Alan was the singer. Yeah, Alan's the singer.
Alan was the singer?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. Mm-hmm. Yes, Alan Vega. So go, the late, the great Alan Vega.
Yeah, you could only do that for so many years. He had to have died.
No, I don't know about that. Well, I guess when
everyone
you give
does,
it your all, when you give it your all like that, you're
but
a,
when you do
when
stuff
you're
like
a true
that,
artist.
You die young. Yeah, just right. He's intense. Their music is not for anyone. I was about to say for everyone.
It's not for anyone, really.
It's not. It's just not. I don't know anyone who calls themselves a fan of this band. I've never met anyone who straight up and said, oh man, that band Suicide, they're great. Never. You read about them and it's always like, oh, the reviewers are like, oh yeah, they're great. Some influential, you know, seminal records.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah. At the scene and all this, and they were at CBGB's and all this bullshit.
All
and
that
it's
stuff.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. But they're just, do you like them? It's kind of the same thing you hear about the New York Dolls, but then that complaint is always, well, they're not great to listen to because they play sloppy and they're not, do you like it? Like, Yeah, they look cool and, you know, all that, but
back then you would probably say that. Now you can say they rock.
Yeah, because they learn how to play their instruments now.
That's right.
But like there's some of this kind of older music where it gets so well reviewed and revered. Just a lot of it is just like, oh really? Do you like it?
Yeah.
Like
No.
Oh really? The birthday party, 5 stars, huh?
Great.
Are you reaching for that one when you want to go out dancing? No.
Or at the off the record shelf? Yeah.
Yeah. No. You ever going to reach for that one again? No.
Maybe somebody might, but I don't.
Fucking weirdos.
Anyway, Suicide just ended our show for you here. Just ended Long Song Silver, episode number 15. There you go.
That's
Frankie
right.
Teardrop, if we didn't say the name of the track was.
He did 1,000 times. We're all Frankie.
We're all Frankie, and we're all screaming our lungs out.
So, yes, we'll be back with episode 16 in a scant 7 to 8 months. So
that's right, exactly. Something like that.
Scott has already said he's going to prepare the wonkiest prog show ever.
Oh, yes.
We're basically just going to play 3 songs next time. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Thank you.
There'll be just songs about elves and stuff. It'll be great.
We'll be just sitting here listening to music, and you just don't go away, folks.
You'll feel the smoke come out of your speakers.
20 minutes, and you'll be fine.
Anyway,
my name is Scott.
I'm Anthony. We're Balcony Radio. Thank you for hanging out with us
as we did our
testament to the long songs,
woo-hoo!
I.e. the tunes that let the DJ go out and go to the bathroom and have a cigarette and
eat a sandwich.
Get some payola.
That's right.
You know, things the music people do.
And a blowjob.
Yeah, that too. Oh, the record guy is in. Great.
Yeah. Okay. We got a long way.
Best
there,
night
Joe.
Of the week is when the late guy from the label shows up.
That's when the engineer takes over.
He gets a bump too.
Just plays everything. Okay.
Anyway, we got one last tune to get out of here with. And we thought, after all this what we played tonight, it's been all over the map.
Yeah.
Let's leave them with a nice little toe tapper. And
some rocking good music.
This is just a nice, pleasant tune. I think you're going to like this one. This is a band that does not appear on our show very often. And I don't know why.
Grand Funk Railroad. And we're playing one
People
of
make fun because their hits are dumb, but the deep tracks, pretty good.
Good stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing one of their early tracks. I can't remember the name of the record that this is.
This
from.
Is on Closer to Home.
Closer to Home. There you
Which
go.
Is
of
like
course,
their,
it's the title track. It's looking
it's
staring
like
at me in the face.
Second record, I think.
All right.
It's really, really early. And this is basically when they're still smoking way too much weed. Later on, they get into cocaine, you can tell.
All right.
But here's Grand Funk. And why don't you funk your way out of here?
I'm your captain. Closer to home. Bye.
Bye.
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Dr. Dog.
It's the New Balance Sebastian. Do you like it?
Balcony Radio.
Al Green.
Jackson 5.
Lady Soul, Aretha Franklin.
Balcony Radio.
Kicking your ass.
Alice Cooper.
David Bowie.
Balcony Radio.
Kicking your ass.
Gene Vincent.
Buddy Holly and the Cricket.
Through.
Mr. Alan Toussaint.
Your
incredible string band.
Ears.